Absolutely freezing this morning when I woke up and opened the curtains and looked out, and I thought, oh, how am I even going to get down the road to that place this morning? And then Sarah and I were coming down together about 20 past nine for the first service, and she had this brainwave. She said, let's walk down. It's going to be really good fun to walk in the snow. And at that point, I thought, I really don't agree with that definition of fun. It's not what I would say fun is. But anyway, merrily, we went on slipping and sliding along the pavements to get here in the snow. She loved it. I hated it. But that's all right. That's all right. We got here in one piece. And I was thinking to myself, you know, this is a funny weekend in the year, isn't it? Because it's, especially when it's really bitterly cold, as it is today. And then you're kind of looking to tomorrow and you're thinking schools are back and work's back and it's all back to normal and decorations are coming down. And you can feel a little bit kind of heavy-hearted, I think, at this time of the year, can't you? And so I thought to myself that I would bring you some news to cheer us all up this morning. So here is the good news for you this morning. Look cheery when I tell you this. There are only 355 sleeps until Christmas. Oh, you don't mind. You see, the first service, they didn't like that at all. You don't mind this. That's okay. I brought a backup just in case people didn't like that first bit of good news. So here's the backup. Even better news, I think. There is a shop in Bangor where you can go today if you need your fix of festive joy, and you can buy an Easter egg. I'm not telling you what the shop is, because I know you've all taken out your gym memberships and everything, so we're not for the new year, so I'm not telling you what the shop is. Anyway, down with the lights and up with the Easter eggs on the second Sunday of Christmas. Today we're going to be thinking about Epiphany. We're going to be thinking about the story of the Magi, the wise men that James read for us. I don't think we mark Epiphany very much in our culture. It's obviously Christmas is much bigger in certain cultures. Epiphany is a very big culture because of this is a day when people exchange gifts in lots of cultures across the world. But I think there's a lot for us to take from this, and there's a lot that the Lord can say to us through all of this. Can we pray together for a moment? Father, Lord, I pray now that as we think about this message of the wise men journeying to visit the baby Jesus, Lord, that you would open our hearts to receive from you what it is that you are saying to us today about how this message is really important for us. And I pray, Father, that as you speak to us now through your Spirit, that we would be those who have hearts open to receive what it is that you have to say and to respond in accordance with your will. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I've been really encouraged, actually, over the last few weeks to hear lots of stories begin to circulate about the number of people this year in the UK who've been attending Christmas services, who've been going along to carol services. We saw it here as well, our carol services, loads and loads of people coming along to them, some for the first time in many years, some for the first time ever coming through a door to a church. And it's just been wonderful to see. And I've been even more encouraged to hear stories of people who have responded to that Christmas story, who've accepted that Christmas story for the first time in their lives, or for the first time in many, many years in their lives. They've accepted that God came to this world to give hope to every single one of us. That he came to this world to tell us that no matter what trouble we might go through, whatever sorrow we might go through, whatever disappointments or trials that we might experience in this world, that actually we have an utterly glorious future ahead of us because he is so much bigger than anything we go through in this world, and that when we put our faith in him, our destinies are secure, and it gives us a whole new way of looking at our lives. It transforms our lives. It transforms our future, but it transforms how we live our lives right now. Christmas is utterly life-changing. And one of those stories that I heard recently and I was very taken by was the story of the historian Niall Ferguson. I've mentioned him before, I think, a couple of times here in church. He's someone who His story last year was really interesting. He was an absolute confirmed, you know, die-in-the-wool atheist, him and his entire family. And then he just had this moment, almost like this kind of epiphany moment of his own, where he just realized that none of this made any sense. None of it was making him happy. And he and his whole family had this very dramatic conversion to Christianity last year. They got baptized, go to church regularly now. And he gave an interview in a few days before, a few days before Christmas, where he said this. He said, "All of this has made a profound change to my life. I found that atheism was not the basis for a meaningful life, and certainly not for a happy life. I look around me and I think of how many unhappy people there are who would be so much happier if they went to church on a Sunday and opened their hearts to Christ. It's that simple." And I thought to myself, he's right. We sometimes make the story of Christian faith quite complicated, I think. But it is actually as simple as that in many ways. The best and the most important thing that any of us could do at the start of this new year, no matter what stage of the faith journey we are on, is to open our hearts afresh to Jesus Christ. It's that simple. That's not to say it's easy. And the passage we heard read for us this morning is really helpful in thinking about how we might take some steps to go about doing that. Because even before these magi or these wise men, as they're called, get to Jesus, what do they have to do? They have to find him. That is the first thing they have to do. And in order to find Jesus, they need to make sure that they are being alert, that they are being open, that they're being attentive to how God is going to direct them to do that. And so what happens in the story is that they become captivated by this star in the sky. The star which brings them first to Jerusalem. And when they get to Jerusalem, they start to ask people there, is this where the newborn king of the Jews is? At which point the king, King Herod, calls in all of the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law, and he asks them, is this where the Messiah is supposed to be born? But because the teachers of the religious law knew the scriptures inside out, they were able to turn around and say, well, actually, no, he's not to be born in Jerusalem at all. He is to be born in Bethlehem, according to what the prophets said many, many years ago. And so that piece of information allows these wise men to go about on their journey, to go on to Bethlehem, to go to where they need to be. Now, what is going on here? If you take a step back from this, what is really going on in this story? What we see here is a God who will strain every sinew to communicate to these men, because he has something very important, something life-changing to say to them. And he talks to them, first of all, through creation, the star in the sky that captures their attention. He talks to them then through the scriptures as they hear these words from the prophet Micah that have such a big effect in redirecting them towards Bethlehem and where they need to go. And then later in the story, he talks to them through a dream. And he uses the dream to warn them not to return on the path that they'd intended to return by through back to King Herod. So what we actually see here is God speaking in every imaginable way to these wise men. And that is a very important reminder to us at the start of this new year, that God will use every imaginable way to speak to us. He will use creation to speak to us. Sometimes all you need to do is go out for a walk and you will just sense the Lord quietly speaking to you through the beauty of creation. He will use scripture to speak to us. He will even use dreams to speak to us. And he uses all these ways to speak to us because he longs to be in relationship with us. So he is going to use every way imaginable to make sure that that happens. You might be sitting here today, and you might be quite new to church, and you might look back on your life, and you might realize, you begin to see, yeah, that wasn't a coincidence. God was speaking to me about that, and he got me in, you know, to do that through him speaking to me that way, and he got me in the door through somebody saying this to me or whatever. When you look back in your life, you can begin to see ways in which God has spoken to you very importantly in your faith journey. And that actually is what Christmas is all about. That God came to be with us. He came to live with us, he came to guide us, he came to rescue us, he came to lift us from a life which otherwise would be hopeless, and he came to assure us that he would be with us, and that he would be with us and we with him forever. He came to this earth, in human form to begin a new relationship with us. And that relationship, we see right from Jesus in that stable, in a manger, first few days old, we see that that relationship, even from the very beginning, is one that God is deepening through communication with people. Now, communication is really important. It's two-way. What we're seeing here is a story of people who are hearing from God. Very often we do a lot of talking to God, don't we? He loves to hear from us. He loves it when we bring our prayers to him. He loves it. Like any good father, he loves it. But we're being told here that we need to stop sometimes and we need to listen. We need to hear from him. It can't be a one-way conversation. That isn't a conversation, and that's not how you develop a relationship. So the birth of Jesus, Jesus' death, as he goes on later in life, his resurrection, all of this puts in place a sequence of events that allows any of us who put our faith in Jesus Christ to become, as we sang in that last song, a child of God. Amazingly, that's what the Bible tells us. You put your faith in Jesus Christ and you are adopted into God's family. And like any loving father, our Heavenly Father is constantly seeking to talk to us and to guide us. And so this story of the wise men is a reminder to us this morning, especially at the start of a new year, that we need to be paying attention to what God is saying to us. And we need to be paying attention to that by paying attention to what's going on around us, because God could be speaking to us through what's going on around us. We need to be opening our eyes and our ears and our minds to hear how God is speaking to us in lots of different ways. And as we begin to do that, what will happen is that we will begin to deepen our relationship with him. And as we do that, we'll become more and more aware of when he's speaking to us, and it will become just almost natural that we hear his voice as we do that. It'll take a bit of effort. It takes a bit of training to get to that place. That means that we need to be intentional in building that relationship. How can we do that? We can go about reading scripture every single day. Scripture that the Bible tells us is God breathed, is God breathing, it's him speaking to us through his word. And as we do that, what we will find is that the Spirit of God begins to nudge us and prompt us and guide us and even challenge us as we are reading his word about particular things in our lives or about the lives of other people that he's maybe asking us to speak into. But it's about so much more than that, important as that is. I think what we're being told here and what we're being reminded of here is that we actually need to have an attitude that is an attitude of waking up every single morning and declaring in our hearts, Lord, my heart is open to you today. It is open to hear from you in any way that you would choose to speak to me. It's about openness of heart. That's what we need to cultivate to develop our relationship with God. And when we do that, what we will find is that we will become like new people, totally transformed. We'll develop our relationship with our Heavenly Father in such a way that we are just walking in step with him. More confident, more purposeful, more joyful because of that relationship. And we'll have all of those things, confidence and joy and purpose, because we'll go about our lives knowing that God is forever with us. He is constantly with us, waiting patiently for us. Sometimes he needs to wait patiently for us, doesn't he? Sometimes we stray off and do our own thing. Sometimes we think we've got it all worked out and we've got all the answers to these things. Sometimes we start our day and we don't call upon him to guide us in things, and we find by the end of the day that we've walked into a whole bunch of trouble. Do you know what? That's all right. That's not the end of the world. Because what are we being told here as well? We are being told here as well that God is infinitely patient with us. As part of his love for us, he is infinitely patient with us. How do we know that? Well, because we see these wise men in this story, and we see that God ensured that that star remained in the sky, even though they initially went in the wrong direction. He still made sure that star was burning in the sky. He was waiting for them to work out the right direction. And that star lingered over Bethlehem for as long as it took to get them to where they needed to be. God is patient. And he does not abandon us. He will never abandon us. He's not in the business of abandoning us. It's one of the promises recorded to us in his word. He will never abandon us. And the whole of this Christmas story is telling us that. And the whole of this Christmas story is telling us that even more than the fact that he's patient with us, that he will not abandon us, it is telling us that he will move heaven and earth for us. That he will turn the world upside down for us if he has to. Because what was he doing at Christmas? He was ensuring that the Savior of the world would come down and be born in a stable, and that powerful rulers in the world, like King Herod, would tremble, as they should today, because Jesus Christ was and is on a mission to lift up the broken, to lift up the marginalized, to lift up the poor in spirit, and to give life to the forgotten, people like you and me. I think we sometimes forget how radical Christmas is. God turned the world upside down at Christmas, and he did it for you, and he did it for me. He became a human being in the muck of a stable in order to live with us and die for us so that he could fix out the mess in our lives. So this is not a story that we read. It's not something we sing about in Christmas carols. It's not something we just see being performed in a nativity. It is a story that we are part of. It is the story of our lives, if we choose to be part of it. I sometimes think about the nativity. I sometimes think about the children, the question the children will ask themselves every so often when they're sort of winding each other up and being a bit mischievous, and someone's got a really good part, and they'll say to somebody else who's like a shepherd or something, they'll say like, what do you think's the best part in the nativity? And we'll say, oh, you got the best part, we know that. But actually, I sometimes think to myself, I wonder what Jesus would say. What's the best part in the nativity? And he'd probably look at all of us and he'd probably say, actually, you're the best part in the nativity. This is for you, this story. This is a real story for all of you. And you're invited to respond to the birth of Christ. Now, this story tells us, as I mentioned a moment ago, that we need to be people who are increasingly alert. We've got to be really alert in these days to what God is doing and to what God is saying to us. And we've got to be alert to the signs in the heavens. We've got to be alert to what he's saying to us in Scripture. We've got to be alert to what he's saying to us through creation. And we've got to be alert to what he's saying in our imagination. And yes, even our dreams. God will still speak to us in dreams today. It tells us that we need to make it a priority in our lives to bring our most treasured possessions to Jesus through acts of devotion, acts of worship. Not gold, frankincense, and myrrh, like these wise men brought, but what's most precious to us, our very hearts. We need to be bringing our very hearts to Jesus Christ as we worship him and we hold nothing back from him. And then we get to that final part in the story. I wonder if you noticed that last verse. With these wise men, they follow God's direction. They make it to this life-changing encounter with Jesus, and then we're told this. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route. And they did that because God warned them in a dream that the path that they had originally intended to take was going to place them in danger. This is very important for us. If we want to really open our hearts to Jesus Christ, if we really want to respond to the Christmas and the Epiphany story, then this last verse in the readings, in the Christmas readings, is one that we can't ignore. Because in this last verse, what it means is that we can no longer be those who say of our lives, we've got it all sorted out. We know exactly what we're doing. This is the way we've always done it. There's only one way to do life. This is my way, and leave me alone. Can't say that anymore if you want to have your heart open to the Christmas story and to Christ this Christmas. The Magi, they are open to another road. We assume that they're old and wise, but they're not too old to do things differently, and they're not so wise that they're not trying to do something that they haven't done before. Are we open to another road in the year ahead? You might be here and you might be on that road already. You might be here today and actually, in recent days or weeks or months, God has taken you onto a road that you had not seen coming. There can be many, many reasons why we end up on these unexpected paths in life. Some of them can be really exciting. Some of them can be really challenging. God took the Magi in this different path because he wanted to prevent them from danger. Not every new road he puts us on in life, not every new direction he takes us in, will be because there is danger ahead. But the heart behind putting us onto any new road in life, the heart behind it will always be the same. The heart behind it will always be the heart of love, of compassion, of care for his children, for you and me. And that's why we can afford to be confident about opening to our hearts to him and asking him to direct every aspect of our lives. Because every time we open our hearts to him, what we're doing is that we are declaring that we trust him to be loving and kind and wanting the very best for us in life. Building that trust will mean listening. It will mean deepening communication, deepening relationship with him. We get a very powerful glimpse of it this morning in this story of the wise men. I am sure they had moments in that journey where they were walking along and their perseverance was being tested on that road to Bethlehem, thinking, yes, I know the star is there, I see the star is there, but we have been walking an awfully long time and I still cannot see Bethlehem. And yet they listened. And they kept going. And we are told that when they reached their destination, they were overcome with joy when they got there. And what we today can see with the benefit of hindsight is that God redirected their path after that. After they got to Jesus, they were filled with joy. God let them go back, allowed them, asked them to go back by a different path. And we can see with hindsight that he did that because he did not want their joy to be taken from them. Joy comes from abiding in Christ, through trusting in his love for us, even when, and especially when, we find ourselves on an unexpected path. Jesus would go on to tell his disciples this later in his ministry. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. Abide in him for your joy to be complete. If you're here this morning, and you have opened your heart about a new path that God has put you on in recent times. And you have said, Lord, this is a bit challenging. I did not see this coming. This is not how I saw things working out. But I am opening my heart to you, and I am going to follow your guidance and your direction in this. And if you feel that there's still not much happening, that you still don't see that destination you long for, or that you've still got so many questions about all of this, then be assured that the Lord has seen your heart, and you are on the path to complete joy. And if you're here today, and God has been whispering to you recently, in the way that he so often does, tenderly, he's been whispering to you, dear child, you're going down a path marked danger. This attitude to someone that you've started developing, this attitude to something in your life that you've started developing, this is taking you down a path marked danger. Then listen to that voice, because that's not going to take you to the place of joy. And I want to say a special word, and I hope it's for someone here this morning. If you're here today and you've been thinking to yourself, you've been hearing the voice of the Father whispering to you, and you think to yourself, there's just something not right with your body, and there's something that you've been putting off getting checked out, and the Father has been whispering to you for a while in love, get yourself checked out, because if you keep going down this path and putting it off any longer, you're taking yourself into the place of danger. Then listen to the voice of the Father, because he longs to pour out his love upon you. That is why he tells you these things. He whispers these things to us because he loves us. And so at the start of this new year, the best thing that any of us could do is to make a resolution that we will start listening to him more, that we will deepen our relationship with him more, that we will open our hearts to him afresh, to receive all that he has to give us, and then to take that step of following him down that much better path that he is calling us to walk down in life. Let's pray.